I'm Tommy Gimler. Villanova and Virginia gave their fans and millions of brackets nationwide an extra large dick sandwich over the weekend. That's just one of the many things we'll touch on in our March Madness breakdown.
Hi, I'm Andy Ostroff, and apparently the odds of getting raped by Darren Sharper are way higher than the odds of predicting a perfect NCAA bracket. Right, Obama? Anyways, the pile is back, baby!
And I'm T'Shawn Phillips, and I just did an audition to play the role of Jesus in an animated Easter cartoon. Will you be my disciple?
The Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
Oh, T'Shawn, good to have you back. Is this true? In an animated, this is the voice of Jesus.
I hope. Fingers crossed.
You know, that I would actually, I might believe.
Sounds godlike to me.
If your voice was the voice of God's son, I might become a Christian again.
That's fabby. I mean, I thought I was going for just Holy Ghost, and then they were like, we're bumping you up, buddy.
Nice. By the way, I mean a brownie from Freebirds. It's delicious, and if you hear chewing, that's what it is.
You're welcome, man. I returned the favor. I was just like, they're so damn good. I used DoorDash tonight for Freebirds, and I was like,
yeah?
Why not? Why don't I get that? I'll drop $3 a guy on a brownie there. What do you think?
They're good, man. They're so good.
Yeah, delicious.
It tastes like T'Shawn's animated Jesus voice, but in food form.
Oh, let's talk about something that's not good. We'll jump right into the hot mess.
The hot mess.
How bad has the officiating been at the NCAA tournament this year, guys? Let's start off with T'Shawn. I'll let you start off because this one affected you the most. The UCLA-SMU game, the goaltend. Tell me about it.
No, I mean, this is just one of the most egregious calls in of all time. And it's just, you know, part of it's timing of game. Part of it's just, you know, at no point, like, there's a lot of justifications went as far as what the different moments of the rule you're supposed to account for as a referee and all this. I'm like, that is just total horseshit. The ball was not going in from any possible angle. And for whatever reason, it's not even like a reviewable play.
No, you can't review it within the last 2 minutes, which is horseshit.
But you can review everything else, which is part of why these games take so fucking long.
The thing that sucks is anytime anybody gets hit with an elbow, whether or not you see it and it's fucking inadvertent, as long as they get hit with an elbow, reviewable.
Then they'll check it. Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, it's a flagrant one.
It's
you hit him with an elbow by accident. You could wave goodbye, and like another dude could walk into the elbow, and you'd be like, oh, flagrant.
And an odd byproduct of this, too, is that coach's kid Alfred there now has the NCAA record for three-pointers in a tournament game.
Oh, because they gave him that?
Because they gave him that. You know, of course.
Come on.
Yeah, on the personal front. I had SMU was like my sleeper team to make it to the Final Four. So, of course, that kind of.
That was the hardest thing about watching it when T'Shawn and I were. Well, you were here too, right?
Yeah,
you
I was here. Yeah. I thought UCLA was going to be a one and done in the NIT. I mean, what the fuck?
No, they just weren't worthy. Obviously, we all carried on about their unworthiness last time, but I guess due to this fortuitous call, they're proving everyone wrong. But
I can't get over the fact that how many people, like, you know, we don't follow college basketball enough. Like, you know,
even Doug Gottlieb isn't as bad as that call.
That's a bold statement right there.
He fucking
but like,
sucks.
You know, none of us follow college basketball the way that other people do. But it didn't matter whether or not you knew a bunch about college basketball or whether you knew jack shit. People were saying the same thing about it.
Basketball. You don't know jack shit about basketball. You don't even know the rules. Oh, put that hoop thing around that ball thing.
Well, there are some leagues where you can goaltend. I thought that the USA team 1 year played in like a world tournament and they had to teach everyone that goaltending was legal.
Oh yeah, that league is called NBA Jam when you're on fire.
Oh yeah. That's all right. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. No. I mean, this is just like anyone who knows that if the ball is going in the hoop and that those are the good prospects to score, this particular shot had no prospects
to
score.
Yeah, the kid was trying to get a rebound. He wasn't even blocking it. He was trying to get a rebound.
And that's it. Like, I think that's the shitty reffing is, you know, and this is on the serious tip here. I think it just fucks the kids, man. Like think of how crushed that kid is, you know, for really he was making a hustle play. And then suddenly, like, now he's got to deal with the, you know, sort of the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Yeah, but in defense of the NCAA, they've been fucking these kids for years.
I'm sure he was okay once he went back, opened up his locker, and found his envelope of cash. All right, moving on to the Indiana-Wichita State game. Tishon wasn't watching this one with me. He's watching back at his place, and he texted me, like, just how bad are these officials in the Indiana-Wichita State game? And I loved it. I thought it was great that they were calling so many fouls because I had the over. Just over in points. And I think both teams were in the double bonus, like with 10 minutes left to go in each half. And usually when that's the case, you're going to hit your over.
Well, the fouls were actually lopsided in this. Indiana had 9 more than Wichita, and Wichita took 14 more free throws.
Right, and a lot of that was at the end of the second half. Like, it was just Indiana would go down, get hammered, no call. Wichita State would come down, same exact play, foul. And it was so bad that I was reading this article. It was on a College Basketball Talk.
Tom Crean. Oh, this is awesome.
Because I was watching the game with a buddy here, and I noticed that right away, you know, they always cut to the coaches right at half court where they meet each other to shake their hands right by the press table. Mm-hmm. And it was just the Wichita State coach, and Crean wasn't there. And I was like, man, I bet you he's over there hollering at the referees. And here he really went up to one of the referees, looked at him and said, "You suck," mm-hmm. before turning around and coming back and shaking his hand.
I mean, I don't know if Indiana would have beaten Wichita State in a better officiated game, but still, like,
they only lost by 5 and they got shit on.
Yeah.
It just makes for such, and in this case, right, so for the most part, none of these were the, you know, the quintessential moment of the game, like in the UCLA-SMU game, but, like,
never be decided on a fucking goaltending call. Like, maybe a foul, like free throws, something like that. But.
Like, that's brutal, but it does make for really clunky action, right? Like, the whole game, you're just like, oh. This is just, it's not letting them play. It's not like,
I actually was very
form.
Fortunate to have taken a nap during that game.
You know what it is? I think actually it's a lot of the wrong, I think there's a scourge of wrong ref making the call, meaning like the guy on the wrong.
Oh, right.
Where
the guy right underneath the basket watching these two guys calls nothing because there is nothing. But the guy who's sitting way back at half court comes running in, blowing the whistle, hand up in the air. Yeah.
It makes no sense. And that's because, these guys are, like, the all-stars. Like, so they bring, like, an all-star team of refs who've never worked together.
Yeah, they have to be from a different conference, too, or some shit. Just,
well, actually, the one dude that Crean went up to and yelled, "You suck," to after the game, he was actually a Missouri Valley Conference official. He worked the Big 12 and the Missouri Valley Conference, and he was ranked – let's see, he's been working college basketball games since 1997 and ranked 720th out of 817 officials in terms of fouls called this season.
Who does the ranking?
Wow,
what a
boring,
BBState.com.
What a boring fucking existence.
He also impregnated his niece, so it's a little weirdness in that way.
Tom Crean did?
No, the ref.
For real?
No, but.
Oh,
let's start that rumor.
How did I not find this? Oh, like the pile just got
like
bigger.
I figure that had to be some additional reason, though.
But has there been a team?
I was ready to hit pause and like say, okay, we got to go with this.
Has there been a team more lucky in the tournament so far than UCLA? Like, they were so lucky to get in. They got in based on their history, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they get this call, and then UAB has the upset. And UAB's a 14-ranked seed that's – they have 15 fucking losses. Mm-hmm. And then UCLA's like, oh, yeah, we can beat this
including
team.
Including one to Kentucky by like 100 points.
Oh, my God, man.
And they also have the worst soundbite of the tournament, too, where the UCLA kid was getting interviewed by one of those smoking hotties on the sideline. And he was like, well, you know, coach just told us that if we lose, we go home. And if we win, we go home. So, you know, we're just going to play hard. He's like, really?
The hot mess.
Let's go with Villanova first here. So they haven't advanced to the second weekend now since 2009, right? Am I right on this?
I think that's correct. They have done very little for a very long time.
They're like the Gonzaga of the Big East.
Yeah.
It's the third time in 6 years Villanova has lost as a number one or number two seed to an opponent number 7 or lower. They haven't reached the regional semifinal since 2009, and the Wildcats are 2-4 in their last 6 NCAA tournament games. So next year when they run through the Big East again, and they're 31-3 or 31-4.
Who do they have coming back?
I don't even know. I don't even care. They were Villanova.
Well,
like, it doesn't do anything for me when you win the Big East. Yeah.
Well, not now.
Not now.
Come on. Right. Not now.
But to me,
Big
Villanova
East
was one of those
3
teams.
Years ago, yeah.
I don't think in any of my brackets I took Villanova past the Sweet 16. In fact, I had like either LSU or NC State getting, you know, beating them. And one of the reasons why is early, one of their two losses was to Georgetown by 20 points.
Yeah. Like, and you Georgetown rushed the court. Remember that shit.
You don't lose to a team like Georgetown by 20 points and then just later on in the season come back and make a run in the NCAA tournament, right? You can lose to Duke by like a dozen, you know, a good team like that. You can lose to Kentucky by 15 and still have a shot in the NCAA tournament. But losing to Georgetown by 20, no thank you.
Yeah, because especially because Greg Popovich is not the coach. He's not resting the starters, so you don't have an excuse.
Well, I think, you know, I think most would agree that Nova was overseeded.
I do want to say that Villanova did provide us with one of the highlights of the tournament so far with the sad Piccolo player.
You know, I didn't even know that. I was like, dude, why are you saying it's a Piccolo player? It's a flute. I had no idea. I thought the Piccolo was more like an oboe.
Oh, well, now look, Tommy learned something.
That's what I took away from that. Yeah. Plus, that Tommy girl, the crying girl.
Did you see her on Tonight Show?
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. She played the fucking Piccolo with the Roots.
Yeah, that's.
And she got Taylor Swift tickets.
I mean, she should honestly just go, like, jump off the top of a building right now because her life is never going to be this good.
Well, maybe after the concert.
Okay.
She loves Taylor Swift.
Oh, so she's going to go play with Taylor Swift?
No, she's going to go to the concert. She got two tickets.
Oh, but she's
that was part
play?
Of the gift basket. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, all right.
Maybe.
Reel it in, fellas. Reel it in.
If she was going to go on stage and
but
someone
the best
was
part of her explanation was like, I didn't want my dad to see me crying, so I saw myself at the Jumbotron, and then I looked down so my dad wouldn't see me crying, but the whole nation saw me crying. And so you see her, that's like, you see her do that and then look down, and you think she's just super sad, but really she's just hiding herself from the Jumbotron. It worked perfect.
Maybe she's
so
just,
much drama.
Maybe she's just praying to animated Jesus.
I want her
I'm
going to
put a $20 bet right now. $20 bet in 20 years, she's fat as fuck.
And happy.
No, I'll say she's fat.
And happy.
No, I don't think she's going to be happy.
Fat and happy.
Deshaun, $20. You want it? I bet you the Piccolo player, it'll be online somewhere or whatever they have 20 years from now. It'll
where
be
are
like,
they now?
Where are they now? Piccolo the Piccolo player who cried, and she's going to be like fat like Wendy, like for the real Wendy.
How are you going to remember in 20 years about a bet? About how fast
this is
Piccolo
the shit I remember. When I see her, I'll be like, "God, dude, I knew she was going to be a deuce." Moving on to more disappointment. What about Virginia, guys? Same thing. Yeah. Lose as a number one last year to Michigan State and then lose again this year as a number two to Michigan State.
Virginia got hosed, man.
I do believe I called that one, gentlemen.
You did, because they couldn't score when they needed to, and plus their best player was hurt. But
Andy,
Virginia got fucking hosed because there's no fucking chance that Michigan State is a legit 7 seed. They did the same shit to Wichita State last year. Wichita State went undefeated, and they get rewarded by playing fucking Kentucky, who went to the finals as a 9 seed?
But the argument I'll give you is that
the
argument that I'll give you is that if you're a number 2 seed, Virginia, that it doesn't matter. That whoever is at that number 7 seed, you should be able to beat. If you are
it
legit
doesn't,
two, especially
but they are
fans,
not. They are not a 7 seed. Michigan State should have been a fucking 3 seed.
It doesn't matter. Then sooner or later down the road you would meet, and you would have to probably beat them, right?
But the problem is they're getting beat before they get to the Sweet 16, and that's a huge, you know, that's a huge windfall for the university.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Get, so all
they
that
shot 29.8% from the floor.
Oh, both teams look
and
like
two
shit.
Of 17. Two of 17 for 3-point land, so they wouldn't have beaten Stephen F. Austin if they had been playing them.
No, but I picked Michigan State to get to the Final Four.
Congratulations.
So they might still, and I think they will.
All right, so those are like the two biggest
the fucking
disappointments.
Michigan State, NC State.
The
7-8 Elite Eight matchup.
I do believe that this time this is what we're gonna have you did you write out your apology?
I did.
Okay, so the biggest disappointments for me then were Villanova and Virginia. Tishon, your biggest disappointments, SMU we've already touched on, right?
Right, and Wofford.
I also want to say UCLA, huge disappointment. Like,
I mean, they
expect that shit.
No.
By the way, Murray State is killing it in the NIT. Fucking killing it. They should have got that at-large bid, man.
You know, based on your love of Wofford, when Wofford and Arkansas game came up in my betting league, I was like, you know what? Why not? I'll throw a little tickle on this over. And they look terrible. And so did Arkansas. I think the final score was 56-53.
They hung in there, man. They had a chance to win that shit.
I have a few questions about your betting league while we're talking about it right now. One, how's it going?
It's good. I'm in fifth place, I believe.
Good.
Sixth place.
Two, Can you bet on NIT games?
No, not this year. 2 years ago you could, but not this year.
And three, what about women's NCAA games?
No, that's not a sport.
That's horseshit.
All right. So
what about women's NIT games?
Can you imagine it? all right, so at this way, if you guys didn't get a chance to listen to the March Madness special last week, Andy had a hard-on for Davidson, and I kept trying to tell him that they were too undersized, that there was no way they were going to even beat an Iowa team just because of how much they relied on their outside game. Now, what I will give them is it was very exciting to see those little fuckers run up and down the court, make one pass, and chuck it up from like 40 feet out.
They're fun to watch.
And they would run back and get ready on defense, man. It was great. It was entertaining. But I did say that if Davidson lost, and was it Stephen F. Austin as well that you were really high on, that you would have to write me a 30-second apology. So without further ado, here is Andy Ostroff apologizing for his dog shit awful pick.
I'll put him on
Davidson.
The clock. Yeah, here we
okay,
go.
Okay, all right.
Here we go. Go.
I would like to take a moment to apologize to all of our listeners. In a moment of weakness, I was confident that Davidson and Stephen F. Austin could make runs to the Sweet 16. I have to admit that I am a homer for the Atlantic 10 Conference, and I enjoyed watching Stephen F. Austin win its first round game last year. But alas, they could not do it this year, and it is 100% my fault. I know that ESPN received 11.57 million brackets this year, and none of them were filled out perfectly. I would also like to take the entire blame for this. Additionally, the odds of filling out a perfect bracket are 1 in 9 quintillion, 223 quadrillion, 372 trillion, 36 billion, 854 million, 775,808. But if you listen to me, your odds will be more like 9 quintillion, 391 quadrillion, 454 trillion, 39 billion, 321 million, 776,304 to 1. Those are worse odds, and for that, I deeply, deeply apologize.
I think you ran long. You ran a bit long.
The hot mess.
Andy, I know you want to talk about this because you called this 6 weeks ago.
Oh, the Veteran Combine? Yeah.
The NFL Veteran Combine was held this past weekend, and it was a bigger bomb than Hot Tub Time Machine 2. The greatest part when you look at it are all of the 40 times. Now, what the running backs and the wide receivers, what they're all saying is that the turf that they had to run on was piss poor. So they're blaming all of their slow times. Like the guy who ran the fastest time ran a 4.55. 4.55, and he's been running like 4.2s. Threes is the entire time.
The NFL deliberately wanted to humiliate these guys.
Maybe. Like, but here's the thing that I...
The one guy they wanted to probably deliberately, you know, humiliate was Michael Sam.
I know.
Just for once and for all... Get out of here.
Michael
that's the good old boys club.
Michael Sam left Dancing with the Stars for this.
He shouldn't have.
He took a break. Hey, I'd put him on my team.
Dude, he was co-defensive player of the year.
In the best defensive conference.
You know, and the sad part is that if he would have just kept his mouth shut, he would be on a team.
Oh, yeah.
He would be on a team. It'd be unbelievable.
That's really sad, though.
Like, you know, if we had the DeLorean... If we had a DeLorean and we hit 88 miles an hour, we had him in the passenger seat. We said, okay, we're going to go back to the day before you made your announcement.
For the Veteran Combine, because I'm sure a lot of these people want to go back in time and make some different decisions.
You know, but according to TMZ Sports, this is what one NFL scout told them about Michael Sam. He looked stiff and slow, but Sam's attitude was even worse. He thinks he's a superstar. It would be nice if he could do something on the field to back up the attitude.
Seems like such a nice guy.
One general manager said the concern was that he didn't look focused on the game. He regressed. So that was Michael Sam.
Oh, he was Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Yeah, he's staying light on his feet. I mean, there's no question.
I mean, after his sack dance was impressive. After he sacked the fake quarterback, what he was able to do after that was impressive.
I like that you called it a sack dance. My mind went elsewhere, and it shouldn't have. It should not have. It just there was so much emphasis on the word sack. A couple guys got on teams though.
Yeah, I saw one. There was the Cardinals signed
Nathan Slaughter. Devin Carr, a cornerback.
Is that Webster Slaughter's kid?
That's what I thought right
away.
Wide
receiver?
I didn't take the time to look it up anymore. I was like, that would be awesome if it was. Anyway, on to the next. It wasn't going to make the show one way or the other. It was like, oh, God, dude, you got to sit out. Everyone's got to listen. They're going to talk about Webster Slaughter's kid. And the only reason why we know Webster Slaughter is because we all played Tecmo Super Bowl.
And he has a great name. You know, I get very.
He was named after Emmanuel Lewis's character on the show, Webster.
All right, keep talking. I'm going to see if the Webster Slaughter is a sex move on Urban Dictionary.
Oh, well, I cannot wait for this one.
You know who I was surprised about? Like, Michael Bush was at this, right?
And
yeah, he shit the bed.
Yeah, he was.
He was good.
Dude, he was a starter,
like for Oakland, and then he played for the Bears.
Not that that's impressive.
There were a lot of guys. There was a guy, and he was like 41. He played in the league for 15 years. He's like, I'd play another 15 years if I could. And I read some article about it where they made reference to the dude on the Niners who quit because he didn't want to get hurt.
Chris Borland, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, there was no Chris Borland talking this. I was like, shut the fuck up. He probably has something else to do.
The Webster Slaughter is not an Urban Dictionary sex move,
but
hey.
Come up with one.
Captain Ridiculous, or what's your name?
Captain Glamorous.
Captain Glamorous, I was way
off.
See,
that's a good name. See, I like that.
Rename my bracket to Captain Glamorous.
So Michael Bush, the greatest thing about Michael Bush, it was the greatest thing to come out of the NFL Veteran Combine, was that one of the NFL's reporters said that upon hearing that he had just run a 4.91, Michael Bush said, really? Well, there you go. There goes my career. That was the best thing to come out of the NFL Veteran Combine.
I wonder if I could run a 4.91.
I bet you none of us could.
You know where I'd be strong,
though? What do we get? In high school, I think I ran a 4.8.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I was down in like the 4.5s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you were
maybe
play
below
tennis at Wofford.
4.75.
You got to run a 4.7 or lower in order to play tennis at Wofford.
Yeah, I would have been good at the cone drill. Still, I still have. I think I still got like.
We
the
got
short
those cones
quicks.
In your trunk that you practice with all the time.
You saw me out in the road.
You're like the Uncle Rico of the Daily Upper Decker podcast. He still thinks he has it.
Throwing steaks.
What do you think? I mean, is this as pathetic of a sporting event as there's been? Like the XFL came to mind. Like that. I mean, that was obviously like it was a pathetic attempt at football. But
oh no, what was it? The one that I liked? What was the boxing match with Tanya Harding?
Yes,
and
celebrity boxing.
Right. Yeah. Wasn't that the one in Claymation? Or this was real?
Oh no, that was celebrity deathmatch. Yeah. Was it?
Oh, celebrity deathmatch. That was good.
That
I remember
was that good.
The halftime show.
Right.
Celebrity deathmatch. Yeah.
Yeah, during the Super Bowl.
That was good.
No, it was Fox Celebrity Boxing. It was like Todd Bridges against.
Right. No, I remember that.
Someone else who sucks. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it was like Peter McNeely.
That was harsh.
My favorite Fox show was Man versus Beast, where they would have like a Navy SEAL run an obstacle course against an orangutan, or like 20 little people pulling an airplane against one elephant. And then it was tug of war. It was like a sumo wrestler versus a gorilla or something.
Deshaun Phillips.
The best one was Takeru Kobayashi hot dog eating contest against a grizzly bear.
Oh, man.
The bear kicked his ass.
Deshaun.
He was eating like four hot dogs at once. Yeah, that's
right. Deshaun Phillips.
Soak them in the water, you know.
Deshaun Phillips playing basketball against Brittany Griner. Man versus beast.
Oh.
I don't even know who that is.
Brittany Griner?
Yeah.
Oh, look her up, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. I guess I was the beast.
I don't know if your wife's iPad.
Was I the beast?
Speaking of beasts, ladies and gentlemen, the Dallas Cowboys signed Greg Hardy. Outside of Aaron Hernandez, is there any other player a team could sign that would be more tasteless?
I don't know. Ray Carruth came to mind. he can't be signed, though, till 2018. And that's only if the team can find him when he's not hiding in a trunk of a car.
Well, and Bill Cosby did play a little halfback at Temple back in the day.
Yeah. Ray Rice would be a better signing than this.
Bebop, sign me up. You put the pills in the cappuccino and then run with the football because the defense is unconscious.
Somebody give me the fucking pigskin.
Gonna run.
Some good Cosby riffing right there.
That
good
is
Cosby.
Right there. I like that. So did you see, like, Jerry Jones, just a fucking turd. He really is. So what
Saddam
is
Saddam Hussein. What is maybe
he Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Osama bin Laden would be the worst.
Osama bin Laden.
Also good at the cone drill.
But he's tall. He's tall. Would have been a good big target at this 6'6 frame of his.
He's lanky. When he grows into his body, he'll be much more solid.
The image of Osama bin Laden doing the cone drill is unbelievable.
In a full fucking turban and stuff.
His turban falls off halfway
I
through.
I would really love to see
but he wants
Osama
to make the
bin
team so bad. That
I'd love to see. I'd love to see Osama bin Laden get tagged with my Michael Sam. And have Michael Sam do a little dance.
Now I wish they wouldn't have killed him.
Yeah, they should just have captured him and have fucking play football once a year. That would be fucking the biggest sellout game ever. Like, the offensive line would just stand and let the defense run by them.
You know, when you do the Dudcast rundown and you write down the Cowboys sign Greg Hardy, I didn't see Osama bin Laden run through the cones coming through that one. Oh, man. So did you see Jerry Jones? So he trots his daughter out there. He takes his daughter, who's on, like, the what committee is she on in the NFL?
It's the,
like,
itty bitty titty committee.
Yeah, she might be. She's pretty.
That's the only committee I know.
She is. Let's see, the Charlotte Jones Anderson, daughter of cowboy owner Jerry Jones. Blah 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 is defending the signing of Greg Hardy. She's on the conduct committee that the NFL started in response to the domestic violence issues that plagued the league. So she comes out and she says, I agree with the signing. So that's how far Jerry Jones will go to, like, just.
Well, he was a Pro Bowler, and then he couldn't play anymore because he was just beating up chicks. But before he was beating up chicks, he was in the Pro Bowl.
Speaking of beating up chicks, did you listen to this University of Mary Washington rugby team?
Oh, man, this thing's brutal.
Chant? Did you hear this?
The chants? Yeah, man, it did. You know what I think is worse than the chant? The party. That looked like the shittiest party ever.
What, the party where they're doing the chant?
Listen to how shithouse they are. Oh, they are fucking hammered.
Dude. Did you say fuck the devil in his ass?
I think fuck the devil, then fuck the hoes.
Do you know what the saddest part about this is, though? That only 8 people from the 46-member team were at this party, and the whole team got suspended.
Well, they were only 8 good players.
I guess. I don't even know how many players you need on the field at once.
A bit like
finally found a whore. She was right and dead. Well, goddamn son of a bitch, we're going to get it in. Finally got it in. Wiggle it all about. Goddamn son of a bitch, I couldn't get it out. Finally got it out. It was red and sore. Moral of the story is never fuck a whore.
Sort of like the lost Gilbert and Sullivan tune from Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's exactly what it is. Yes, it is the lost Gilbert and Sullivan tune from the Pirates of the Caribbean. They actually play it at the Disneyland ride.
I hadn't
That's
heard it
why
before.
It's PG-13. No. Oh, unbelievable. Well, the good news is now that here at the Dud, we know that there is a University of Mary Washington, and that B, they have a rugby team.
Well, they used to have a rugby team.
They used to.
Yeah. This right. week they
Stretch
don't.
Stretch that off, yeah.
Well, speaking of suspensions... Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our favorite segment. We took a hiatus last week due to our March Madness special, but it's back, baby. It's time for the pile.
The pile.
First up here in the pile, Darren Sharper. Mm-hmm. So in the guy's, like, just taking plea deals like they're fucking, you know.
Like they're Bud Light Platinums.
He is. Would you like a plea deal? I sure do. Great, thanks. You want a chaser with that? So now he has a plea deal in Vegas as well. So the only place where he hasn't settled is New Orleans. So basically what's going to happen is he's going to get, like, I think in California he got a 20-year sentence, but they're going to, like, cut it in half and then give him time served. So when it all comes down to it, he's going to probably serve somewhere between 9 and 10 years for raping these chicks.
Raping everybody.
At this point, the question is, who didn't Darren Sharper rape? Like, I honestly am going to have to go back and look at my journal and just see if at any point I was hanging out with Darren Sharper.
Jeez. That is more the question, isn't it?
It is, right?
And as just a point of reference, how good was he again? Like, I remember
he was great when he was on the Packers. And he was decent for the rest of the teams he played for. Like, he really was a good player. And he's a good-looking dude. He really is.
How was he raping? Is he like Cosby Cappuccino raping? Or was he just forceful raping?
No, he was drugging him. So the craziest thing is that all he has to do, even when he retired, he's on the NFL Network, all he has to do is just go into a hotel lobby, look at any girl and say, hey, I'm former NFL player and current NFL Network analyst Darren Sharper. And there would at least be like 60% of the girls that'll say, I'll fuck him.
He could have just had it on a t-shirt, too. He wouldn't even need to say that.
Could have said a t-shirt with his own picture on it?
Yeah. Little hello stickers. Hello, my name is.
My name is
hello
Darren.
My name is former NFL player and current NFL analyst Darren Sharper. Wanna fuck?
Wanna is spelled W-A-N-N-A, too.
That's how I only spell it.
All right, so defend this guy. You try and do better than getting him only 9 years in the clink for this.
Well, here's the thing. Darren Sharper, which you may not know, is a huge comedy fan. And Vance Champ is his idol. So
it's Vince Champ.
Vance Champ.
No, is it Vance?
Vance.
No, it's Vincent Horace Champ is his name.
Vance Champ, the serial rapist, is his idol.
Oh, this is great. Go on.
And he's actually looking for more years of his sentence because Vance Champ has like 50.
It really is. Here's a really quick tidbit about Vincent Horace Champ. All right. So he went to, so this is pre-internet, really, like when he was going. This is like
he got caught because of the radio.
Yeah, 90s. Well, no, he got caught at Pasadena College.
Well, you know how he got caught?
Yeah.
Well, he raped someone.
He was at the Ice House.
Yeah, no.
Pasadena Ice House.
He raped someone and he was doing like promo. And so he used to make these girls like pray and shit after he was done. Like he snuck up on them and would like rape them in like the park or something.
Now pray.
And, yeah, and would like make the talk.
Now don't
to
turn
them.
Around until you
he
do
would
six
talk
Hail
to
Marys
them and make them pray and stuff.
What the
and
fuck?
One of the girls heard him on the radio and was like, "You're the voice of my rapist."
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So anyway,
he was fucked up, man.
So he was literally going like he would go around like Ostroff and I to colleges and we're doing these comedy shows and he would rape these girls.
Well,
on
no,
these-
he wouldn't rape at the college he was at. He would drive to a neighboring college, rape
oh,
there,
really?
And then go back and do a fucking show.
Wow.
He was doing it for years, too.
See, comics, I think, have like different things that they do before a show to get ready. I used to just go to like the local Applebee's and have a couple of
beers. I take a nap.
He takes a nap. Vincent Horace Champs used to rape chicks. So he raped a girl at Carthage College in Wisconsin, which southeastern Wisconsin, like Kenosha area over
and then
there,
once
like
that came out, all these other girls were like, yeah, me too.
But here's the deal. So Vincent Horace Champ is like this skinny black dude, right? So at Carthage College, the girl who got raped said that it was like she thought she could have sworn it was these guys at a fraternity or these guys on a football team. So my buddy Luke, the cops show up on his doorstep and they're like, come on down. He had to give DNA samples and like clippings of his pubes and stuff like that. And my buddy Luke is like 6'2 at this point, like 6'2, like 250. White dude.
Jesus.
And it wasn't even close. So then every now and then we go home and if it's like he's by the cooler, we're like, hey, Vincent Horace Champ, can you get me a Bud Light? Something like that. Anyway.
It's fucked up. Yeah, that's what I heard about that guy.
All right. I think we're talking about Darren Sharper raping chicks.
Yeah, he wants more years.
He wants more years.
Yeah. Give it to him.
Granted.
There you go.
Granted.
Yes, that's a win.
Well done.
Moving on here. Trevor Ford, the current free agent and former Green Bay Packers cornerback, busted for stealing his roommate's watch, pawning it off, and then lying about it. Defend this guy.
Well, in the defense of Trevor Ford, he was actually just tired of sucking dicks for the same $30 amount.
Right.
So he was just looking for something else, man. I don't know how you can convict.
I think the most embarrassing part of the story is that he played in the NFL and he has a roommate.
Yeah, he has a roommate. And he's only getting $30.
And it's in Florida.
Yeah. Shit's cheap there. Yeah, you should be able to get more.
Dude, my friend just moved to is moving to Omaha, Nebraska. He told me he got this like 1,000 square foot loft in the coolest part of town with like all these amenities and shit. And I was like, how much? And I was like laughing because I was like, how much? $800 a month. And he's like, everyone wants to live in this part of town, but it's just expensive for them. And I'm just, in stitches laughing. So $800 a month.
$800. So that was the thing. Like the watch was like $110 and he pawned it for $30.
Was it a Swatch watch?
It was a Casio.
Oh.
Is that going to affect your ruling? Let's rule on this.
I think he deserves more punishment for Swiss made. So if it's a Casio, I think this guy's just really hurting. So
yeah, probation.
He just gets some probation and pick up some garbage at the side of the road, buddy.
Moving on here in the pile, we've got Matt Brown, the former Temple football player, arrested for human trafficking.
Yeah.
He brought teenage girls aged 14 to 17 to a hotel room for guys looking for hookers. Those guys were cops.
Okay. Yeah. So Matt Brown was just looking for something to do in Baltimore, right? And he decided to sign up, actually through Groupon, for a live role-playing game that simulated season 2 of The Wire. It's just a simple misunderstanding. And I saw Avon Barksdale last night. So there you go.
So he lives in Baltimore, not in Philadelphia?
He was in Baltimore. He was like, McNulty, you're not supposed to bust me yet. So it's all The Wire.
This is making the judge think a little bit.
No, this guy's a real son of a bitch.
Said like a true judge.
No, I say put this motherfucker away.
All right. Might be a soft spot here for the judge who went to Syracuse, Hayes McGinley. If that's a one percenter name, if I've ever heard.
Yeah, I wrote down. I said Hayes McGinley, maybe the biggest asshole name ever.
Syracuse lacrosse player arrested after he punched a woman in the face. But if you look at his mugshot, it looks like she got in a shot or six.
He got his. No, she didn't. He got beaten up. No, he got beaten up by a bystander.
Oh, no. See, I thought the bystander was coming over. He punched
this
him.
Well, let's not even defend this one. Let's talk about this one, because one's fun. Hayes McGinley looks like a zombie from the fucking Walking Dead right now.
Talk about a soft spot. His whole face.
His whole face is a soft spot. What happened was he was arguing with a woman, and this dude named Jim Whitcomb, a 41-year-old who works at a restaurant called Sliders, which is a restaurant, not be confused with the television series with Jerry O'Connell.
Wasn't confused.
Okay, just in case anyone was confused, because Jerry O'Connell, Kerry Werder was in it. You know, it was good shit. It was on for like 5 years, and for some reason it was on Sunday afternoons, and I watched it. Anyways, he beat up McGinley after, McGinley hit this woman, and so then the 41-year-old dude pulled him and beat the shit out of him, right? And now there's a law in New York State where you can't defend someone in self-defense. You can only defend yourself. You can't defend somebody else.
Come on.
That's against the law, yeah. So this was the quote that I read from Jim Whitcomb that he said, okay? He goes, I turned around and looked at the cop. I said, you want to arrest me? Here I am. I don't give a shit. Arrest me. And the cops were like, nah, just go.
That's amazing.
This dude was hitting women? Yeah, just go.
That's amazing.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
So I'm going to say time served on the ass whooping that Jim McGinley gave him. Yeah. Or Jim Whitcomb, excuse me. Jim Whitcomb gave Hayes McGinley.
Jim Whitcomb sounds like an asbestos factory worker.
Jim Whitcomb works at Sliders, the restaurant. Not the TV show with Jerry O'Connell.
Jim Whitcomb hit 4 home runs in our bar softball league last year.
I bet he did. So
yeah, the toilet was clogged. Couldn't fix it. Called up Jim Whitcomb. He came over, knocked that out of the park.
He's all about solutions.
Here at Jim Whitcomb Aluminum Siding, we want to save on your heating bill.
That's right. They're getting into solar panels, but Hayes McGinley, I believe that was the backup name for the Happy Gilmore arch nemesis,
Shooter
McGavin. So Hayes McGinley, you're just a dickhead.
He's a turbo douche. You would have never thought that a college lacrosse player could be a fucking dickhead.
Never.
Who would have thought that?
He's instantly guilty, even if we weren't playing that game. But
all right,
he's actually guilty of 3/4 of the Darren Sharper rapes.
T-Shawn, pick one of the final three. All right. One of the final three. Which one do you want to do?
Oh, let's do the one with the multiple names.
Timothy, Tyler, Andrew, Walker.
Oh, yeah, that one?
Jesus Christ, pick a name and go with it. Do you think, like, his parents just couldn't say no, so they named him Timothy, and then, like, when he got to be, like, 2 or 3 years old, he's like, I want to be Tyler.
He's actually okay. Named after all the men that could have been his father. There was no paternity test, just names.
Name him after your uncle.
Well, Andrew. He's named after you. You got to pay child support.
So Timothy Tyler, Andrew Walker, former NASCAR driver arrested for failing to appear in court in a case resulting from his arrest after leading police on a chase through three states.
Yes.
Wow. Andy Ostroff, defend any one of these Walkers.
I just want to say he was practicing. And he did a good job because he wasn't caught. He went through Nevada, Arizona, and got caught in Utah.
Yeah, but I know I where he went. I know what you know valley that is. That's like probably 30 miles max.
I just
like
want to point
Arizona
out
Arizona that long.
That I'm doing the same road trip tomorrow.
Yes, that's right. That's
and I am going to have just as much meth in the car.
That's right. They found meth. What meth pot and vodka?
Ah, the trifecta. That's
yeah, right. You can't throw vodka in with those two.
Nah. That's what Jim Whitcomb says.
According to my dealer, Jim Whitcomb.
Oh, Timothy.
It's
Tyler,
okay.
Andrew Walker.
Police officers Jim Whitcomb and Neil Figgleton are on the case.
Who was the guy in Seinfeld? Tim? No, it wasn't always like, not Tim Watley. He was a dentist, but there was always the guy that Jerry Seinfeld would always talk about. I can't remember him, but Jim Whitcomb is our guy.
He's our guy.
Anyway, what's the ruling here?
Just let the man on the run. I say let him go. Just let him drive around the desert for as long as he wants. I don't care. I don't care. Free on bail.
Oh, that was a ton of fun. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have one more segment here on this week's edition of the Daily Upper Decker. Find us on dailyupperdecker.com. Find us at Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and find us on Vine as well. Get ready, kids. Buckle up. It's time for Fact or Fudge.
Fact or Fudge.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Nash retired this week at the age of 41. Nash was twice named the NBA's MVP, and his 10,335 assists are good for third most all time. He's also the father of three kids, although the last one was rumored to be Jason Richardson's and not his. Do you remember this story?
No.
Like it was rumored.
But aren't they a different ethnicity? Like, couldn't you tell?
Like, that was the thing. It was like there was rumored that the kid was black. So right away it was like, I think like Jason Richardson got traded immediately or something following it. And then like the day after she gave birth, Steve Nash divorced her. So it was like this huge rumor. It turns out the kid just had jaundice.
Wow. A lot of kerfuffle.
Is that true?
No, it should be though, right? That'd be outstanding. Oh, the kid man.
That's a great rumor. My favorite one was that, what was his name? Oh, shit. Delonte West, was that his name? That he was on the Cavs but got released because he fucked LeBron's mom.
Right. You didn't hear that? He got blackballed from the league, basically.
Yeah. I remember watching like basketball on ESPN, and they were talking about Delonte West. And he had like Chinese letters on his neck, and they were like, "Do you know what that means?" He's like, "No, but I think it means something funny because sometimes I go to these Chinese stores and people start talking and laughing." And Jeff Van Gundy goes, "What's Delonte West doing in Chinese stores?"
Dynamite dropping, Monty. All right. Well, anyway.
That's where he takes Mrs. James.
Speaking of NBA players and fucking, it leads us into our fact or fudge question of the day. It's a whole lot of fucking, actually. What I'm going to do here, I'm going to read off an NBA player's name. And then I'm going to give you a number. What you're going to have to tell me, does this clown have more or less kids than the number I provide?
There's no push.
So no push.
Okay.
No push. It's either over or under that amount right here. So we're doing NBA overs and unders. So I'm going to name an NBA player. So if, for example, I'd say Michael Jordan, 47. You would say under.
Over.
Under. It's close, but it's over. It's under probably, okay?
No, it's over.
All right, so let's start. Here we go.
I would bet over.
Our reigning champ is not here this week, so we'll go ahead and we'll start with
No,
T-Shawn,
I won last time. Place.
I thought Aaron Lewis did.
Aaron Lewis did not win last week.
All right, then we'll start with the reigning champ, Andy. All right, here we go. Number one, Shaquille O'Neal. Four.
I'm going to go with the over.
The over. How many kids do you think he has?
Five.
God, that is actually correct. Like every single, you should almost get 2 points for that because every part of that, you really know your Shaquille O'Neal.
I don't know. I just said five. I don't know. Five.
He's got Shaquille O'Neal, Sharif O'Neal.
Did you say his name is
Miara
Shaquille?
O'Neal? Yeah. Shakir, Sharif, Miara, Tahira, and Amira. God, it's got to be a blast answering the phone at that house.
Please say, I don't have the list in front of me, so say it like he's calling his kids for dinner.
We got Shakir.
No, like he's yelling up the stairs, like Shakir, Amira, Shaquiver, dinner.
Hey, it's dinner time. Get down here. It's Shakir, Sharif, Miara, Tahira, Amira. Come on down. Get your macaroni and cheese.
Who do you sound like? You sound like someone totally different, but still.
Anyway. Well, hey, congratulations. You got it. He has five kids.
It's like
so
Owen Wilson doing a Shaquille O'Neal impression.
With a little Sly Stone in there.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Stallone.
Number two, T-Shawn. I'm going to give you an NBA player, then a number. Right, does this clown have more or less kids than the number provided? The Houston Rockets' Royce White. Do you remember this guy? Royce White, they drafted him even though he had anxiety disorder, and he was like, I'm not getting on that plane.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't travel.
Where'd he go? He went to, like, New Mexico, right?
So, yeah, so then they put him in a D-League team or something like that, but he was like, I'm not getting on that plane.
Okay.
So, Royce White, the number is four.
I believe the limits on his travel would limit his lovemaking.
I like this.
And baby-making capacity. So, I will go under.
What would you say?
I would have said under, but I would have, if I had I thought about the limits of his travel, I would say over because he's
just
home and bored.
He's got nothing else to do. You should have went with Ostroff's thinking because the answer is five. Five kids, reportedly five different baby mamas.
Five's like a good number for babies.
He might have anxiety disorder, but not in the bedroom, baby.
I would have said under, but and I thought about the travel.
All right. Moving on. I'm going to give you an NBA player. Then I'm going to give you a number. Does this clown have more or less kids than the number provided? Andy Ostroff, Sean Kemp, nine.
I'm going to go with the over.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I'm going to go with the over. I think he has 10.
Sean Kemp?
Or like an even dozen. Yeah.
Didn't he steal
a kid?
He might have stolen a kid.
I went to Sean Kemp's restaurant. When I was in Seattle, I went to Sean Kemp's restaurant in hopes to meet Sean Kemp, and apparently he was there right before I got there.
Sean Kemp?
He's
got a restaurant
servers
in St. George.
Yeah, they're all in the back.
No, but he had a drink special called, like, the Rain Man, and it was, like, tons of liqueurs and juice.
This will make you retarded,
this will give you diabetes.
So, all right, yeah. Sean Kemp, nine. What's your answer?
I'd say the over just because he's known to have a shitload of kids, and nine is still a single digit.
The correct answer is seven. Six
God
different
damn it.
Baby mamas.
See, that would be another bonus thing of how many baby mamas associated with the children.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so
is
we've
Greg Minor on this list, by the way? He's got like 19.
All right, so we've got one for Andy, zero for T-Shawn. Still anybody's game here in Fact or Fudge. I'm going to give you an NBA player, then I'm going to give you a number. Does this clown have more or less kids than the number provided? Scott Skiles, five.
Oh, he's a true family man, Scotty Skiles.
Yeah, he sounds like it.
I think you got to go the over. Like, I think he's one of those guys you underestimate, but I think his baby-making capacity is
high. I think
high.
He's like a religious nut, so yeah.
The correct answer is six.
Ooh.
The number of baby mamas, unknown.
Unknown.
Oh, wow.
I've heard that he has as many as eight kids.
But I think he might be Mormon, and he may have like multiple legitimate wives. So I think there's a bit of that going on.
Well, I don't know how it's unknown.
It's true big love.
He's apparently banging all of them. All right, here
Living
we go.
Living the dream.
And he's not a handsome man, actually. Like, he's actually, you know. He's
money outweighs looks.
Maybe he has a monster hog. Factor Fudge.
Oh, by the way, I was very disturbed today. I went to the gym, and I saw a dude with a ridiculous-looking dick. Like, so much so that it was like, it was disturbing. Like, it looked like a fucking, it just looked like a fucking baseball. Like, it wasn't even like long shaped. It looked like a doorknob. It was so fucking gross that I walked in there. He's just in the open, like, just standing there with a fucking monstrosity. And I was like, what the fuck is that?
So you're like, dude, I'm not gay, and I'm not.
Say anything to him. I was like out of breath. I was like, ugh.
What if he doesn't know? Like, hey, man, you might want to go get check that thing
out. Hey, man, you might have elephantiasis. I don't know. Elephantiasis. Yeah, I think you got a glandular disorder, dude. Stop working out and get some fucking treatment.
You're not supposed to hang weights from the tip of your penis.
Oh,
sir.
Man,
that's weird.
It was weird. I did not like it. I did not like it at all.
Speaking of big dicks, how about Calvin Murphy and eight?
Eight dicks? He's got eight
dicks.
Well,
no, eight is the number that I'm associating
Calvin
with.
Calvin Murphy, who did he play for?
Like, once again, the Houston Rockets. There's something about that water in Houston, baby. Yeah.
Calvin Murphy. You know what? I don't
Calvin Murphy
remember him, so I'm going to go with the under.
Yeah. Calvin Murphy, his nickname was Pocket Rocket. Literally, when he was on the court, it was Pocket Rocket. He was also inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1993. 14 kids.
Fuck.
With nine baby mamas.
Fuck.
Yeah,
you put Sean Kemp to shame.
Yes. Yes.
Sean Kemp's going to retire from.
The Gulf Coast makes you horny.
T-Sean.
It's all the chemicals in those fish.
We make a lot of Reynolds rap down there. All right, here we go. That they're not using it to wrap it up. All right, Kenny Anderson, six.
Kenny Anderson, Brooklyn, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, nah, he. I feel like Kenny got around.
Atlanta's a big city.
He was actually, and he was one of those first like mega youngsters, you know, that you got a lot of hype. You
Point
know?
Guard, you yeah. man.
And so I'm going to say six feels low. Over.
Going over. All right. The correct answer is seven.
Ooh, T-Shawn taking the lead.
Five different baby mamas. So that means T-Shawn is up 2-1 here in Factor Fudge. Moving on, Andy Ostroff, I'm going to give you a Jason Caffey, former Bulls great.
I remember. I believe he played for Alabama. He was Roll Tide.
I think he was one of at the forefront of like playing for like 12 different teams in 13 different years. Jason Caffey.
I remember him.
Jason Caffey, 11 kids.
Fuck, that's a high number, dude.
Wow, that is high.
I should have put halves in this. Yeah. 6.5 kids.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I have 11 of anything. Fuck. I'm going to go with the under.
What's so crazy is like this is the state of the NBA. When I give you one dude in the NBA who wasn't really like necessarily that good, and I give you a number like 11.
That's why they're all fucking
and
broke.
He's seriously thinking about it. He's like, oh, God, I could see him having 12. That's the state of the NBA. Jason Caffey, the correct answer is he has 10 kids.
Yes.
Eight different baby mamas. So congratulations, Ostroff. You just tied it up.
All the kids are the same
age. I think Jason Caffey, I think he made like $48 million in his career, and he only owes like $600K now. I think
he earned two NBA championship rings in addition to an estimated $29 million.
Oh, yeah.
The kids are expensive, man.
In 2008, Caffey was forced to serve an 8-day jail sentence for failing to pay child support for one of his 10 kids.
Easy to forget one of them.
So he wanted to file for bankruptcy but couldn't due to multiple child support suits.
Sounds like a fun life.
Yeah,
he's an upstanding dude.
Hey, we've got Andy Ostroff 2, T-Shawn Phillips 2 here in a tight battle of Factor Fudge. T-Shawn Vlade Divac, or is it Divac? Yeah. I think it's Divac, right? Yeah.
Divac.
Vlade,
yeah.
9.
He's Serbian, right?
He's Serbian, right?
Vlade grows a really good beard. So I'll go with the under.
The correct answer is 3 kids.
Ooh, super conservative.
I would have gone over. If you would have given me Vlade Divac 9, I would have said over.
Didn't you guys?
Like, I mean, that guy was a sensation in Los Angeles. Yeah. Imagine what he is back in. What is? Where's he from? Serbia, Croatia, Serbia, Serbia.
Yeah, you guys didn't listen to my rationale.
What was it?
The beard.
The beard
clearly explains everything.
Well, here we go, man. This is where it's at. You get it right, the game moves on. You get it wrong, Tyshawn Phillips surprisingly jumps into the champion's chair. Dirk Nowitzki, 5.
Huh. Fucking Dirk.
Fucking Dirk.
I'm going to go with the under.
Well, Dirk does have a proper schnitzel.
That is the correct answer.
Well,
he has 2 kids.
Yeah.
Just had number 2.
Congratulations.
This year like literally this month he just had it. All right, tie game here.
Congrats, Dirk.
The game goes on. All right, so Tyshawn, and I'm so glad it's come to this one.
Okay.
You get it right, you win.
Whoa.
If not, we go to a tiebreaker where I'm going to give you a name and you guys have to tell me how many kids he has.
Oh, shit. I'm going to guess the same number.
And you're going to have to tell, and whoever's closest.
We're going to have to do secret ballot, though.
Yes, secret ballot.
I will
secret
guess
ballot.
The same number every time, and the game will never end.
Well, no, because what I'll do is I'm going to give you a half number on that, and you're going to have to tell me which. No,
what
that
are you talking
even
about?
Anyway, secret anyway, ballot. All right, it might not even come to this. Here we go. Here we go. Factor 5.
Oh, it'll come to it.
Tyshawn Phillips.
I'm ready.
The athlete. The NBA player is Tayshaun Prince.
Ah.
The number of kids, 7.
Tayshaun Prince, huh?
Tayshaun Prince.
He's a Kentucky alum. He's probably not an alum, right? Did he graduate? I don't know. Does it matter? Probably not.
No. He's from LA, though.
Played some of his best hoops in Detroit.
Dirty city.
During some low times there, so it could go back to the old.
It's always been low times. And when was
the
last time it was a low time?
Motown days. It was fucking glorious,
not in the
20s,
well, dude.
there were 2 boom generations when Motown was rolling before Tayshawn Prince.
I think. Yeah, are we talking about me or him? Like,
we're talking about
on
the it's player.
How many unknown kids do you know about?
He currently plays for the Detroit Pistons.
He's back.
Tayshawn Prince. Yeah, he's back.
He's back. Is he making more babies?
Salary in 2015, $7.708
million. That's $1 million a kid, a little over.
35 years old from Compton, California.
I'm thinking it's the under. I think he's a responsible young man.
Dude's from Compton, California, goes and plays at Kentucky, and then lives in Detroit, and you're going under 7.
I am.
Final answer.
Final answer.
That is correct. Tayshawn Prince.
I am the king of the world.
Do you know how many kids he
Tayshawn
has?
Tayshawn. Under 7?
1.
1 is the correct answer. Tayshawn
wow
Prince. 1 kid.
That's because he's weird looking.
All right, very good. It's been one hell of an episode here at the Daily Upper Decker. Find us online at dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook, at Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, and of course on Vine as well. We'll see you next
Daily
week here.
Daily Upper Deck.
At the Daily Upper Deck.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.